What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community. I think it's a treat and a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
Banging out, Hallie. How are you?
Blessed, lit. Blessed. How are you? How are your Climax kids? How was your weekend?
Everything was amazing, Hallie. This weekend, I decided to preach on Psalm 27 to my teens in Climax. Do you know it?
Yes, I do.
It's one of my favorite verses. You know, it goes, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Yes.
And I love that. And then it goes on to say, you know, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Uh-huh. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Uh-huh.
And then it goes on to say, you know, when the wicked, even mine enemies and mine foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell.
Ooh.
So
I never picked up on that cannibalism.
I know. I threw that up on the iMeg, and I asked my teens just to answer with, you know, what are you most afraid of?
Mm.
And you know what I'm thinking, Hallie, is after I read that verse, who could be afraid of anything? Because, you know, after you hear that, it instantly makes me not afraid. And it doesn't put any terrifying imagery in my head. And I'm just thinking, you know, they're just going to say, I'm afraid of nothing. Zip, zilch, zed, zero. You know what I mean?
I feel like I sometimes get afraid of being eaten by a shark or bear,
okay. But
I've never been afraid of being eaten by people. That's really never crossed my mind in terms of the Psalms.
I don't know why the psalmist put that part in there, because it is weird to say, you know, that after they eat you, you stumble and fall, which seems a bit self-explanatory. But so Hallie, I put up the verse. I said, okay, guys, let me know on your iPads, on the poll, what you're afraid of, thinking they're going to say nothing. And Hallie, you know what the number one thing they said they were afraid of was?
Being socially outcast?
Climate change.
Climate change?
I know. It is just so silly. I mean, if you're going to fear something, hey, maybe start fearing, you know, the Satanists who do ceremonies out in the Richie Woods Forest Preserve and, you know, kidnap babies and make them into Yankee candles.
Yeah.
That's something to actually be afraid of.
That's something that could happen right here in our county.
Well, it happens all the time.
Well, sure.
And so I just sat back and I said, guys, look, the jury is out if climate change is even real.
Yeah.
And believe me, if I hear something about it, I'm going to be the first to tell you because Australia is an island and we're going to be the first to be underwater.
Oh, wow.
So
it's not going to happen. Don't worry, Gray.
Oh, I know. And you know, second, really, if the I like to always think the Earth is not our home. We are aliens here, Hallie.
That's right. Heaven is our home.
That's right. So I need to be these teens to be thinking, you know, think of your real home, not your temporary one.
That's
upstairs.
Yep. Well, that's enough about climate change. I kind of like I like to stick with nonfiction stuff. But what have you been up to with your good bud Clay Mason? What'd you two get into this weekend?
Oh, Hallie, we had an awesome weekend. We went to a NASCAR race.
Awesome.
So that was really fun. I had never done that, but it was kind of a bummer because you know it started raining and the roads got closed. They got all flooded. So. You know, we had to leave early. It was too bad. I know. It was like 7 inches of rain in 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was crazy. It feels like there's so much extreme weather nowadays. It's so annoying.
How was your week, Hallie?
Oh, you know what? Great. I bit the bullet and I pulled my kids out of public school. I've been threatening to do it for so long. I'm going to homeschool them.
No way.
Yeah,
that's
they wanted to do
leap.
A mask mandate and all the vaccine record stuff and everything. Ugh. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I know I've been giving my kids vaccines their whole lives, but those were for other ones that were, you know, keeping them from getting, you know, real illnesses and stuff. I would never give them the COVID one because, you know, that one, the government's trying to track you and it's not even FDA approved.
Oh, I know. Well, isn't the FDA government?
I don't know. I've given them enough vaccines in their lives. And here's the thing, Gray. If you really think about it, we're vaccinating these kids against all these, you know, supposedly deadly diseases like, you know, measles, mumps, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So everybody is vaccinated for this stuff. And guess what? Nobody ever gets measles and mumps. I'm like, why are we doing this?
That is a great point, Hallie. I've never heard of anyone ever getting mumps.
Right?
I know. Makes no sense.
In your whole life. So it's like, come on. So anyway, I ordered all the curriculum and my kids have been giving me a little bit of grief because they're like, we miss our friends and we want to do our activities and stuff. And I'm like, you're going to have plenty of activities in the church. You can have a lot of Christian friends at church. And so I had them start. We had our first day of school. And so far, it looks like the only problem is going to be that I guess my kids have had a good education up to this point because they basically went through the whole day of curriculum, every single one of them. I put them around the kitchen table and within 20 minutes, all of them were done. They'd finished
all
the like math, all the English, everything. And then they wanted to go out and get on their bikes and get on, you know, online games and everything. And I was like, no, you got to do school all day because I got to attend to other stuff, you know.
Totally.
And then my son, Day, he's giving me trouble about like, the history and also the science that, you know, is in this new curriculum I'm giving him.
Okay.
He says that like the black history is all like whitewashing American history to remove, you know, what atrocities against people of color.
Well, Day, you know what? That sounds racist just to say if you're whitewashing black history.
Yeah, so, exactly. So be careful, bud.
Came up with that little phrase.
He said my Christian curriculum is like partial truths and patriotic fables. And you know what I said, Gray? I said, what's wrong with that? He said the way we teach black history centers the white experience. I grabbed that pamphlet from him and I said, look at this. You got Davy Crockett, Paul Bunyan, John Henry, Daniel Boone, Betsy Ross, Billy Graham.
The
I was
hits.
Like, this is fun history.
Totally.
And I said, what history do you want to be reading, Day?
I know.
And he said, Howard Zinn. And I said, Howard Zinn? The Vanessa Redgrave movie? I just don't get you, Dave.
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like a movie he would like.
And he had all kinds of stuff to say about how the science in the curriculum was no good.
Oh, really?
And it was simply because this Christian curriculum is trying to make room for the fact that God could scientifically, there is an explanation for how God could flood the entire planet Earth all at once and have it all be underwater.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Mom, could it be that a Bronze Age tribe that was writing about a flood of their village, you know, that they assumed was the whole world as far as they knew what the world was, Is it possible that it wasn't the whole planet? Maybe it was a flash flood, like what you had this weekend at the NASCAR race with Clay Mason Bannerman got flooded
that
out.
That felt like Noah's flood for a minute, especially when one of the cars floated away.
And he was mostly upset because what this science curriculum was saying is that God had created an entire canopy of water around the Earth's atmosphere, and he collapsed it all at once. And that's what would make it possible to flood an entire planet all at the same time.
Oh, we call that in Australia the Big Bag Theory. Like it's a big bag of water up there.
And that's how God flooded the whole Earth.
Right.
And, you know, there are scientific answers for this.
Exactly.
Is what I was telling him. And he said, this book is saying that, so there was a canopy effect that made the Earth like a greenhouse type of environment, and the dinosaurs were thriving, and then, you know, God collapsed the canopy to flood the whole Earth, and then when the dinosaurs got off the ark, they all died because the weather wasn't like a greenhouse anymore. It was much like it is today, you know, because weather doesn't really change. And maybe that's something that you can tell your Climax kids, Gray, is that they don't have to worry about climate change, you know, and that God's got the whole world in his hands.
That's right. You know, something else I never worried about was Vanessa Redgrave's performance in Howard's End.
Oh, Emma Thompson, too.
Oh, just amazing. Mm.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Just like Jesus' brand was perfect and on point, our guest today is the point person for the Twin Hills brand. Please welcome Chief Marketing Officer, Miss Jen Bioz.
So great to be here, you guys. Just great.
Jen, we are so excited to see you because it's Jen Bioz.
Jen Bioz.
Jen Bioz.
Jen Bioz.
Jen Bioz. We're great.
Okay.
We're great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, jumping into what you are up to around Twin Hills, because I guess I just don't know much of anything about marketing, and you are just a guru in that. I don't like to use that word guru, but that is really what you are.
She's a pro. She's the CMO.
That is right. What is CMO and what are you up to?
Well, CMO, it's funny because traditionally in advertising, CMO would be the chief marketing officer.
Okay.
But I have taken that title and kind of given it my own branding spin.
Okay.
I am the Christ marketing officer.
Okay.
See, that's on brand for Twin Hills. Mm-hmm, see right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is great.
Yeah. And so that's also the name of my company, Christ Marketing Officer. And I have a team behind me, of course, but you know, I'm the Christ marketing officer and I got a team of God warriors and branders behind me.
And what do you guys do when it comes to marketing Christ? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, you know, advertising and marketing is a big world full of a million acronyms to help you, you know, optimize your customer experience. And
right.
Your conversion rate. And I like to think, let's optimize our Christ system and let's figure out what our Christ rate is. Because every brand could use a little bit more Jesus, right?
Well, yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, we got the Hobby Lobbies out there. Mm-hmm. We got the Chick-fil-A's. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They feel few and far between, don't they? They feel few and far between.
And so have you worked with some brands that we would know?
Of course. Yes. A bazillion, honestly. And it is hard to talk about the details because, of course, you know, we do sign non-disclosure agreements, you know, throughout the process to make sure that, you know, nobody's, you know, dirty laundry's, you know, getting out there.
It's
but
important.
I'm so lucky because my brands, you know, are always Christ-led brands.
Okay.
And, you know, a Christ-led brand, you know, has their heart in the right place. And they have fewer secrets than some of these, you know, companies that are just trying to make a fast buck, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say? Because I got a teenage son named Day, and he's always giving me guff about how, like, Mom, the Bible is patriarchal and supports owning slaves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, you can cherry pick these very obscure, very infrequent things in the Bible. How would I turn that around and rebrand something like that to show that the Bible's good?
Well, I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is that the Old Testament could have really used somebody like me at the helm, making sure that everybody understood what was happening and why everything was a good thing.
Right.
You know, I always turn to the story of the birth of our Lord, and I think about a teenage girl, you know, who's just gotten, you know, the news that you couldn't get back then because here comes the stones
at
you.
Oh,
right?
So a pregnant teen gets stoned to death?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, back in those days, particularly in that Old Testament.
Oh, no.
Now, if everybody could have found a way to rebrand that like Mary did.
Right.
And Mary was the original, you know, PR triumph in the way that she was able to be like, oh, I'll tell you what, God's in my abdomen, you know, and then suddenly it was like, oh, I'm not going to stone this teen. I'm going to celebrate her for the rest of eternity.
Right.
Right.
I had never thought about
Incredible.
It that way. And it's just so lucky that she did have God inside
yes.
her. Otherwise, it seems like she probably wouldn't have even been much for this world.
Right.
I know. And what would have happened had they all thrown rocks at her till she died? We would have no redemption for all humanity for all time. We'd be to hell in a handbasket.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, even a kid that back then with all that truth inside of her, you know, she still needed to spin that story and make sure that everybody understood it. And of course, you know, ask Pontius Pilate. He didn't get it. He didn't buy it.
See?
He was following the misinformation campaign that was happening on the other side.
Right. And you'll see teens nowadays say it was the hot tub. I was at a pool party. I got pregnant from the jacuzzi.
I always say teens don't need to be soup.
See,
and so you know my kids aren't allowed to go in hot tubs, and that's why.
Oh yeah, you should get with Campbell's and get them into some Christ-centered branding.
I can't talk about it, but you know, we're always having conversations. Awesome. You know,
oh, I bet she has a non-disgracer with Campbell soup.
Oh, okay, because I picked up on some clues, some sort of soup based clues, because I looked at your computer bag there, and it is a Swanson laptop bag. So, I mean, I'm wondering, maybe it's not Campbell's, but it's kind of a third string soup right there that you're bringing in.
Oh, good eye.
Well, they needed it, right? Because ever since the TV dinner went away, you know, with the loss of the family having dinner together in front of the television set because, you know, moms went to work, which, you know, I'll never understand.
It's not biblical.
Yeah. As hard as I work every day, I, you know, am making a nutritious Christ-led meal every night for my family.
Right.
I just don't understand it. I mean, I wouldn't enjoy, you know, destroying other companies all day if I knew that I wasn't going to get to, you know, feed my family at the end of the day and enjoy watching their stomachs fill up with my hard work.
You know, is that really at the bottom of all of this stuff when it comes to marketing and advertising, is that you just really need to tell a better story? Is that kind of what we're buying into? Because I guess when I buy things, I'm not really sure why I buy them. I'm not really sure what's going on underneath, other than I have a lot of disposable income and I like to, you know, have things around my house. But I'm not really sure why I buy things sometimes. And it sounds to me like what you're doing is really just great storytelling.
That's what we're doing. We're finding the story. We're finding like the reason to believe, which, you know, that's a big RTB, you know, reason to believe. And, you know, of course, that's my favorite marketing because, you know, I've got reasons to believe every day.
And so have you worked with churches specifically on really upping the game when it comes to, you know, making people buy into church? Because really, if you think about it, we are something that you got to buy into to really believe.
It's so true. It's so true. And, you know, churches do the heavy lifting, you know, from the pulpit, you know, from the stages, you know, to once the customers are in the seats, right? But what is the Christ per click to get those customers in the seats?
Okay. You know,
here at Twin Hills, the opportunities for you to meet people in our auditorium, I mean, we got thousands of people in there on the weekends, and you're going to be, you know, bumping elbows with people who are, you know, big time leaders in big time fields.
Oh, don't think I haven't noticed. Why do you think we moved up here?
So where did you come from?
We had to move after the whole Mars Hill meltdown.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you are still able to give another mega church a try because Twin Hills will not disappoint.
Yeah, we are too big to fail.
Yeah. No, you really are. Yeah. You are. And that's why I'm here. You know, I feel like the women at Twin Hills, they understand, you know, that men have urges and that you have to, you know, dress appropriately if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be coming into church. Yeah. And I don't think the Mars Hill women quite understood that.
Yeah. Do you really think that that is a branding problem at the end of the day of just, you know, it's kind of like, hey, if I've got a pair of Nike shoes and then I go out and these Nike shoes are not going to make me jump higher or run faster, then we've kind of got a branding problem, which my expectation is that I'm going to be, you know, some kind of awesome athlete. And then I just kind of end up not being that. Don't you kind of think that churches are like that, where you're going, hey, the church is one way, and then you go in, it's not really that way. And then the whole thing just totally falls apart when you don't have, you know, that brand, what do you call it? Brand loyalty.
Yeah, I can, you know, spit shine a turd. There were a lot of mistakes made, you know. Mars Hill was a tragedy, right? Because people really misunderstood the good intentions of some of those leaders, you know, some of those just respected male leaders. You know, I didn't have a problem with any of them. You know, I got along great with all those guys, you know. Yeah, they were a lot of fun. You know, I didn't bring my teenage daughter to any of my
meetings. Could you?
And
my heart goes out to these white men who have been thrust into these positions of leadership. Mm. You know, there's more CEOs named John than there are female CEOs. I mean, these guys have to carry the burden. All the presidents have always been men. I mean, men just, and here they are having to like carry the burden of leadership while also being men. You know, we know how God made men. He made them to be visual. This is to expand the species. It's not their problem. So when women come around getting all excited and hot under the collar because there's a fella who's in charge and they like the smell of that power or that Drakkar Noir or whatever they're wearing, then they throw themselves at these men, and the men are so overwhelmed with having to lead and be the moral authorities and be these incredible leaders carrying these huge institutions on their very backs. A woman is, you know, throwing herself right in front of him. He might just trip into her, and all of a sudden he's having an affair because he caught his loafer on the corner of a rug. You know what I mean? And she was there to be inserted into. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. These are accidents and miscommunications and misunderstandings. You know, I don't understand it. I don't know why we can't be more grateful to men.
See?
And for all they've given us.
I had one question. So that is fascinating because, I mean, have you ever seen Mad Men?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I mean, is it kind of like that? That just seems, I love that show. I just think, you know, John Hamm, he's just really amazing.
Very
he has
handsome.
So much charisma and he's just like an amazing, amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
And just like,
he's a white guy.
He's so good. Yeah. But like, is it kind of like that? Because, you know, are you kind of like when you watch Mad Men, you're like, okay, I know that world.
Yeah. I'm not going to fib. I mean, there are times when I think I get a little underestimated, you know, and they don't expect answers coming out of, you know, the skirt.
Uh-huh.
You know,
sure.
And I do wear a skirt to every meeting.
That's good.
Sex sells, I guess. Not with my brands, but yeah, you know, there's, it can appeal to a godless, you know.
It's one of Satan's favorite tools, isn't it? Sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it does, you know, I think there are people who are drawn to advertising that have a godlessness about them. And, you know, I think that's why there's a place for me, you know, because here I am putting Christ front and center.
Right.
And, you know, talk about a return on investment. You know, it's like, cost per click, Christ prayer click.
Thank
Christ
you.
Christ prayer click. Okay. Yeah. So what does that mean, actually? I'm just trying to sort of.
That is awesome.
So Christ prayer click. So I'm clicking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're praying?
Mm-hmm. And I'm praying. And what am I clicking on, I guess, exactly when I'm doing the clicking and the Christing?
Do you ever shop online, Gray?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I love it.
You get
I shop. Yeah. I shop on Instagram. It's the only place I really shop anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a safe place to shop. Yeah. And, you know, it's a great place. I have a ton of clients on Instagram.
Okay.
It's a wonderful place to shop. And you know, you can get stuff cheap.
Right.
You know,
totally.
That's nice because I don't know where it's coming from, but it's, you know, it's coming from far, far away and we don't need to know the rest of the story. But Christ prayer click, right?
Christ You're just prayer click. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a little prayer, you know. Some people call it a banner ad. I call it a prayer.
That's okay. Awesome. Now my kids were just telling me that with iPhones nowadays, there's a face-facing camera looking at you, and it's tracking your eye movements. So it is clocking your iPhone is clocking what your eye moves to and how long it stays there. So they know, for instance, your iPhone's like, ooh, Jem looked at that business skirt. She might be a business skirt.
Yep.
See, and then they know how to market to you better. And I just think that is really cool.
That is awesome.
Now, Jem, you mentioned your Greek heritage, and I just wanted to tell you, A, I love my big fat Greek wedding, and I do enjoy baklava, even though it gets sticky. But tell me if this is too personal of a question, is what's it like being Greek?
Being Greek is magical. The men of Greece, you know, created this world.
Uh-huh.
You know, all innovation came from Greece.
Well, the Olympics, for crying out loud, right?
How about it? Okay. How about it?
Right. They were running around the Acropolis or whatever. And Paul, in the New Testament, he went to Thessalonica. I feel like being Greek makes you a little bit more biblical.
Yeah.
You're like from the Holy Land.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is the origin spot where we had to first take down the pagans.
Well, with you being an insider, Jem, maybe we could throw some brands at you. And with your knowledge of this world of branding and marketing, maybe you could help these brands, like put a spin for Christ on there.
Just how would you make these brands more Christian, you know? Because I think we would be open to any advertiser as long as we could, you know, make them more of a Christian brand, even if they were a secular brand.
Yeah. Like, what if I said Nike? What would you say?
How about instead of just do it, you know, how about we do God did it?
See?
God did it.
And that's the absolute truth.
I love that. I've got one, you know, a brand that I really love that I'm not sure if they're Christian, but, you know, I use the product all the time. It's called Gunt Muscle Balm.
It's a great brand. Gunt. And it rhymes with runt. You know, it's the opposite of mega.
Right.
You know, I think what they need is probably a great celebrity endorsement. You know, what I would do is I would, you know, pull up to the Today Show with a just Gunt-drenched Kirk Cameron.
That is
awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
You know, that's a brand, Christivation, that makes
it's awesome.
I love
you
that.
Know, and if you could hear Kirk Cameron saying the word Gunt as much as possible, because it's so satisfying to see such a good-looking person say a word with so many consonants. Speaking of consonants, that's why they say people like the F word is because it feels good and satisfying to say, and I won't let anyone in my house say that word, obviously, but my son, Day, he said, Mom, it was for when they put people in the stocks in the Puritan era, they put people in the stocks for unlawful carnal knowledge. F-U-C-K, for unlawful carnal knowledge, like, you know, having an affair outside of marriage. And my husband, Lance Labonte, said, Day, you don't know what you're talking about. That word became a curse word because the Germans were flying these Focke planes. And so the Americans would go, here come those Fockers. You know what I mean? And then it just kind of evolved. Yeah, that's true right there. That's true. Sorry. We'll get back to what about Monsanto?
Monsanto probably would do well with a jingle.
Okay.
Take the Johnny Appleseed song, turn it into the Johnny Mustard Seed song.
Oh, awesome.
You know, and then you've got something. And, you know, you do something like, oh, the Lord is good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me Monsanto seeds, the sun, the rain, and the
mustard seed. The Lord's been good to me. Amen.
Did you go to Girl Scout camp?
Amen. I did, but just for the cookies. And you know what? Maybe you could have Carlos Santana sing it, because Monsanto, Carlos Santana, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. I have not vetted him through my Christ talent
good
officer.
Good point.
But we would. And I think that's a great idea if he passed mustard.
That is fantastic. What a great idea. Okay, I've got one last one, which is, it's a pretty big brand, so I don't know if we could get them, but they are, you know, the number three Australian company, Mookie Flagler's Hot Meat Pies, because that is something that everybody loves, or maybe you have those here, right?
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's at least the number three food in Australia, and I just would love to rebrand them, because right now they're essentially, they kind of come across as a bit, you know, satanic. So.
Oh, wow.
That is a shame. I have not heard of Mookie Flagler's Hot
Meat
Pies.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't. But I will tell you what I like what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Because I like a brand that's got an adjective right in the title.
Oh, well, no, Flagler is the name.
It's his last name?
Yeah, it's not an adjective. Oh, I see what you're saying, hot.
I thought they were both adjectives.
Jem Beals was played by the ever delightful and powerfully funny Jen Bills. Follow her at Jen Billsy. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.